Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. World Notice Post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And of course, it's Monday. And of course, it's Edwin. Hi, Edwin. How are you doing?
Martin, I'm saved by common sense. Or are our followers and viewers saved by the bell? We'll talk about that a bit later on in what's wackier than a conspiracy theory. Basically, you won't see me running down Blacktown Road in the Mankini, that's for sure.
What a relief. I was just thinking, I'm not sure that's the thing I really want to see, but there was a prospect that you might at one stage.
After the announcements from the government and the stimulus that they're throwing at this, at the property market, they're wanting to cushion the falls. Anything's possible in Blacktown. Anything is possible. I mean, it's, after all, Blacktown is a sought-after tourist destination for many people around the world, isn't it?
You must mean the other Blacktown.
I'm surprised it still carries the name. I'm surprised they haven't changed the name yet.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. But there's a lot to talk about, isn't there? So we should probably plough on. Now, you made the point about, the Libs and the Labs. They're actually on the same side of the house, aren't they, really?
No, look, they are. The two wings, the left and the right wing of the same vulture, as far as I'm concerned. Immigration, it's full throttle. I don't think that this is the only lever that's going to go full throttle. Fingers crossed, but I think those 40, 50 e-mortgages that you're talking about, I reckon that's also on the cards. I mean, that's a fail-safe part, isn't it?
I wouldn't be surprised to see it, actually. I have to say, anything is possible at the moment, given everything else that's going on. But it just big and interesting question, isn't it? And both sides, both parties, well, they're really, they're pulling the property lever left, right and center, aren't they? I wonder whether there'll be more in the budget when that comes through as well, what else we'll find.
They've got to keep the property portfolios healthy, I guess there's going to be a bit of advice later on as well that I'm going to be sharing to all the with regards to investment properties, landlords and NCAT. And, hopefully our Premier shares this video and to his colleagues in Parliament. So I'm sure they'll learn something in today's tips.
Yeah, but this point about the living in the tents, right? I mean, it is an interesting observation, isn't it?
I keep on saying, mate. Jose's high-rise development's almost finished, so there's a penthouse available. Why live in a tent when you can share an accommodation with in the chicken coop with Jose and the chickens?
Exactly right. And get fresh eggs at the same time. What more could you possibly want?
Exactly. What more can you possibly want? Bacon and eggs early in the morning. Just leave the chickens alone. It's moving on. But look, we spoke about how there was going to be ups and downs. There were going to be, out of line sales. We talked about how there's we really see what's going to happen in the market. We were going to get all sorts of people going to talk about all sorts of indicators. The bottom of the market is a Tom Panos property index that we'll talk about later on as well. Have we reached the bottom? How far down are we? How much further will it go? Comparisons with other countries, New Zealand and Canada and everywhere else. Are we gonna follow suit? All these indicators. It's a whirlwind of information that's happening. But we just gotta take it easy. Take a deep breath. And get a helicopter's eye view of what's going on before you move forward. Because there's also a lot of stuff happening in China, not happening in China, happening with North Korea, America, and Europe and energy. So it's a whole mix of things, and you really got to take stock of everything that's happening out there before you make a decision. More so now, before you make a property decision, and more so now than even 3 months ago.
I agree with that, and there is definitely more uncertainty out there, and Look at the UK, for example. You know, a week ago, the markets were going one way. Then the Prime Minister tried to do things, and then the previous Chancellor got sacked, and the new Chancellor's in now. I understand the new Chancellor is going to make a statement today rather than the end of the month. Oh, going around in circles. But the old bond markets don't like it, and that's an example of uncertainty. And in fact, if you look over in the US, there's a lot of uncertainty there as well. And, you know, wherever you look, turn over every rock, another lump of uncertainty drops out.
Yeah, but look, yeah, you just do what the president over in the US does. You know, when all else fails, go and get buy yourself an ice cream. Yeah, that's a bit of a sweetener. Who cares what happens to the US dollar as long as you can afford to buy ice cream? The Americans are okay. I got a lot of family in the US, and it's thinking on a week by week basis as to how they're going to go to work, what they're going to put on the table, which is no different to where we're headed here with the cost of living here. You know, they can talk all they want about the bond market and this and the US dollar, the Australian dollar. All these things are illusionary, or perhaps these points mean nothing to the everyday Joe, because at the end of the day, you can't eat your bricks and mortar, and you can't. There's only so much that you can palate. But you know, at the end of the day, the cost of living is just getting more and more expensive, and shrinkflation is just gone bonkers. Companies are taking a stab at everything, and yet we're paying more for what we believe to be the same packaging. It's crazy what's happening out there, and that's what we got to get back to. As I said, there's so many indicators, so many things happening globally, locally. Before we make those property decisions, and not just to buy or sell, but it's also to rent, and where you're gonna, pull up stumps for the next couple of years.
Well, I guess you want a little example of shrinkflation. You know, you can get some of these homemade ice cream cones that you can then put ice cream. Well, you go down the shops, you know, they make these cones. They've reduced the size of the cones. Right, charging you the same price, but the cone used to be this big, it's now sort of half the size, right? So you can only get less ice cream, smaller cone, same price. Perfect example.
Look, that's good health policy. Think about it. Good health policy. That means that you gotta watch your diet, Martin. You could turn into a diabetic if you got the same size cones, because you'd be scooping a lot more ice cream.
Yeah, maybe. Now let's talk about WeChat chatters. Of course, Z's got his third term, and except of course that the unemployment in China's gone through the roof, isn't it?
Well, it is, and this is the thing. So we were speaking about the three lines that they've got to look at very, very carefully in the controls and the measures that they've got to bring into place there in China. But as a WeChat chatter of solace, that's it. El Presidente, it's forever. He's been crowned, king of the world. So this is it. The interesting thing is going to be what's going to happen to the opposition. As far as we're told, we've been informed before the WeChat's closed, by the way, pretty very silent, but before all the silence happened, we were told that Lee and his backers are basically retiring. Now, retirement there in China can mean a whole lot of different things. But look, it comes down to the obvious that I won't mention too loud on our show, but also it can also mean leaving the country. And this is where we've got to be careful, with regards to our markets, particularly in the top end, where you got very influential people that obviously have stepped aside in order to give that Z that overall El Supremo mandate, and I'm sure they've done deals where families will basically leave the country or stay in. You've also got the huge issues with the unemployment. So I'm wanting to think that post, I'm wanting to believe that with all the information, all the indicators that we get from our WeChat chatters, I want to believe that post this meeting, this 20th meeting that they're holding to Crown Z, it's basically, it's going to be, that will open the gates. And look, and I say not only that, but we also shared on the show as to how much Australia is advertising for students, for university students to come and basically do their masters and their doctorates, because obviously there is the faculties need a lot of that income that they lost due to the pandemic. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening there. But one thing for sure is that over the last few days, there's been there was a banner that got put out, anti G, and what happened is millions of WeChat accounts had been basically eliminated and cancelled, and hence the reason why now WeChat is pretty much quiet at the moment.
Mm. Well, it's just worth noting, isn't it, that basically there were no fundamental policy changes announced. So very hot on Taiwan's reintegration to China, continuing to focus on spotting COVID and getting rid of it quickly, and also no announcements with regard to change of strategy with regard to the property sector. My understanding is those three red lines basically are into the middle of next year, right? Now, what happens later, who knows, but it's sort of steady as she goes at the moment. But as you say, the fallout is quite significant.
Yeah, and as you know, any policy there, you can they can change on a dime, or you could take a change on a yuan. So
yeah, very good. And the local WeChat chatters, presumably they're going to be celebrating the arrival of even more WeChat chat chatters locally.
Well, all I can say is hands up if you've seen more Asian investors or property buyers at open house inspections. I mean, it's like, but we've been talking about it for, that is where they're going. They're not, there's no confidence in retail. There's no confidence in the hospitality industry with this group of people. And let's face it, historically, that's where they've really parked a lot of the money, and that's how they've made a lot of the money. Other than property, I mean, property is one of the other arms and strong arms that they've held for many a generation. So yeah, that's it. And they are loving the announcement by the government and what's been presented out there, Martin. It's incredible when you read that. When you read that article, what's happening? But again, we told you so. But when you start drilling down into the actual numbers, it's absolutely phenomenal.
Let's put that back up again, because it's pretty amazing, right? The immigration minister has just revealed that he's processed more than 2 million visas since the election. 2 million. Okay, comment. He needs to urgently start talking to the Ministry of Housing, Julie Collins, or else most of those people will be living in tents. The visa backlog has only come down from 1 million to 872,000, despite 2 million being approved. That's pretty amazing, right? According to the ABS data, approvals for student working holiday visas are back to pre-pandemic levels, about 55,000 a month. Well.
Yeah. And that's a point that the WeChat chatterers have been focusing on. And, look, the investment groups that our office is a part of, through our colleagues, they're a part of. They are investment groups that are also very well connected with bigger organisations over there in China. Hence the reason how we get this information. And this is where the focus is. And this is why I highlighted that section, that according to the ABS data, the approval for student and working holiday visas. Yeah. And this is obviously very important from a rental perspective for the investment properties, not so much for apartments, but also for the homes. And again, it's policies that the state government doesn't understand, and the state governments don't understand, the federal government don't understand how much it affects our local first-time buyers and how much pressure much more pressure this is going to put on rentals. Because, you, as I say, as we've been saying before, and that is that the way to break the ceiling, because, look, suburbs have a ceiling in terms of what the local people will pay for rents before they move further out west or further south or further north, wherever, out in the sticks. But to break that, how do you break those ceilings? And that is by room letting or bed sitting. So it's really an interesting scenario. And this is what the WeChat chatterers have been telling us about. And again, the way I look at this, all the policies, it all comes back to the losers, the biggest losers are our first home buyers that are trying to jump in.
That's right. And of course, Kohler put it quite well in the heading. Labour's immigration and housing policies are, quote, an explosive combination. That puts it quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, and look, it's in that article. That article, you know, I wish he titled that article, "It's not the economy, stupid." It's the economy, stupid, not keeping property prices up, because that's where it all points to. When you think about it, that's where it all points to. And even the Reserve Bank, muttering about the needing to keep wages in check. Weren't we promised by the Labor government that the wages were going to go up?
That was then. This is now.
Yeah, I mean, 16. What it basically represents, Martin, it's 16,000 people potentially will be coming in. On a per month basis, 16,000. And just to put that into perspective, as the article puts it also in perspective, that's there's only about, you know, just over 37,000 dwellings for lease in across the main capital cities of Australia. So now I know that some parts of Sydney, some of the outer parts, regions of Sydney, the greater region of Sydney, like say the mountains, from the mid mountains upwards, the vacancy rate is 0.2%. So that is how much pressure and how much stress there is in the rental market. So it's really, really, damaging or hampering any efforts or having the counter effect of anything the government would want to throw at the at first home buyers to get them into the market, because investors are coming in my opinion are starting to come in droves because of the rental return and how this becomes attractive. And again, we go back to that bracket of that, as I said before, from your 750 to a million, where those prices have now been inflated, and now with the announcement of the policy change to the stamp duty the land tax option, and increasing the high point to 1.5. Man, look, it's really putting a lot of pressure. It's unnecessary. It's they haven't really thought it through, and it's sad to see what's going to happen. And look, I can see that these people that are coming won't necessarily be leaving in tents, because a lot of the people that are coming are accustomed to sharing dwellings. I remember when we came to Australia, there was, three families that we shared a four/five-bedroom house in Glazeville at the time, before my parents and before my uncles and that and their families found accommodation, because it was very tight at that time as well in the early 70s. It was fun for the kids because we had a lot of playmates, but I'm sure it was very painful for the adults. And it's going to be worse than that, from what I can see. And a lot of the people that are coming are happy to share these accommodations, but the locals, they're not used to, they're not accustomed to sharing apartments, having two families in a two-bedroom apartment, or having three families in a four-bedroom house, Mart. It's something we thought we would never get there, but we are. This is where we are.
Absolutely. Well, it's a matter of how many can you squeeze in, and the answer is more than you thought. But of course, it does impact lifestyle and mental health and everything else. And again, it's the consequences of bad policy that have been around for a long, long time. And the current government is just playing the same old, and you know the old definition of insanity, doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Well, they're doing the same thing and it will get the same result, which is harder to get property, more people living in more crowded conditions, and property prices in some segments probably, you know, more likely to go up than down. Although I have to tell you that interest rates are still hitting many people, particularly first-time buyers. So it's not uniformly spread, as you say. First-time buyers are being hit squarely over the head with a 4x2, and their ability to borrow is being curtailed, and their ability to buy is being curtailed. So it's a complete distortion. And unfortunately, those in charge, either they know what they're doing, and if they know what they're doing, then shame on them. Or if they don't know what they're doing because they don't understand how things work, shame on them. So whichever way you look at it, it's shame on them.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we voted these people in. We can rant all we want about politics, which is not the main focus for tonight. But we've got to talk about the positive side of this, Martin.
Yeah, there's a whole new story, eh? Now, if you think you're a property flipper, this is a real property flipper, right?
Yeah, $100 million worth of property. Coincidence. Lee being ousted out, retiring, families leaving, high net worth individuals, coincidence, or is it just another conspiracy theory that I have?
I had a question for you, Edwin. What's the stamp duty like? I mean, it's huge, right? So the state will love them.
Oh, look, it's a love affair, isn't it? Look, rule of thumb, I think 4.75, but let's round it up to 5%. Yep. 5% of $100 million, that's $5 million in stamp duty revenue for the state government. That's ka-ching. keep them coming. But it's incredible. This is the price tag of some of these properties. We're talking about $25 million, but it's flipping them from off the top of my head, from $25 or $27 million purchase only 12 months ago, or under 12 months ago, now expecting a return of $34 million. It's no small change, but again, I'll say it's who, when you look at the agency that's going to be doing the flipping, when you look at her connections, if you know the history of this individual, which we do, and the connections that she has, and from the not high net worth individuals over in China. Well, look, again, is it coincidence? Is it orchestrated? Or is it just another one of my conspiracy theories?
Well, the net result is the state will say, thank you very much, ka-ching, and move on to the next one. But another article, which I think we should bring up, because this is actually way more concerning, isn't it? And this is the point that in some of these new outer suburban areas, sure, they might be building a lot of stuff very close together, but what else is missing? No schools, no services, but you just keep throwing more and more and more houses there, which of course means that, again, from a lifestyle perspective, it's less and less attractive.
Look, it is. It's dumb and dumber.
Yep.
It really is dumb and dumber. It's one of those things. You and I have been talking about this for over 3 years with regards to the infrastructure. Even before the pandemic, I remember one of the podcasts that we had, we called all roads really lead to Sydney, and that's where you find everything else, the center of Sydney, or the CBD. Everything else can go, everyone else can go and get stuff. The article brings out, highlighted, brings out the Marsden Park. Has anybody, if our viewers don't know where Marsden Park is, what? Get on the M7 and come off at Richmond Road, right? Come off at Richmond Road, or if you're coming through, if you're not on the expressway, get onto Richmond Road from Blacktown and come in. And where it all converges, where the motorway, Richmond Road, converges, and then start looking at the geography or the topography of the land, and I can guarantee 120% of the people that if they do that trip, and as soon as they hit it, they'll know straight away, Martin, that it's a freaking floodplain.
This
is where we're building these dog boxes, not only a floodplain, But it's also, if you look at the high power lines that run through and across Marsden Park in these areas, it's absolutely diabolical, the crap that's been built out there. And we've got friends that have got investment properties there and the like, and over the last month or so, and family, and over the last month or so, we've been helping them fix these properties that are only, they're only 4 or 5 years old because of wear and tear. And you sort of touch the, you touch the walls along the corridor, and you'd swear that you're going to put your hand right through the jibbok.
Yes. And, you know, the article made a really quite interesting point, I think. Things like, this is the Marsden Park example, a primary school was the size of a country school. It now has 19 demountables. The closest shops is a 20-minute drive away, so that's a 40-minute round trip. And the traffic, of course, is very, very, very significant along very narrow roads, and they get one train an hour, and there's no hospital because they didn't bother to build the one that said they were going to build at Rouse Hill. And I'll tell you something else, Edwin, that looking at my mortgage stress, this is an area now where mortgage stress is going absolutely through the roof.
But you look at that, you look at your mortgage stress, your investigation around the mortgage stress there. Hmm. You look at who bought into those areas. First home buyers.
Yep. Yeah, first-time buyers and a lot of first-generation migrants as well.
Correct. That's correct. And you just have to go there and you see how it's all just you feel like, look, I'd prefer to live in Opal Tower personally, or give me an apartment in Mascot Tower, in Marsden Park. But look, there is a positive. There is a positive side to all this. Again, we've got to look at the positives as well as the negatives.
Absolutely. Go for the positive.
They keep on calling us doomsayers. It's got to have the biggest Bunnings, the biggest IKEA, and the biggest Costco that I've ever seen.
Yeah,
anywhere in Sydney. Come on, and that's all you need, isn't it? That's all you need. So you've got the biggest warehouse outlets there, but then a lot of these big warehouses, or if you look at the industrial and commercial developments, where are they built? Where are they built? They're generally built on, on 1 in 50 flood zones, because that's all you could really build in these things, that you could basically afford for it to take on a meter, high water running, stream running through, because you wouldn't get damaged. But when you've got all these houses I was there on the weekend. I should have taken some photos, and it was just, as I said, when you get to that junction and I had a colleague with me, and I said, tell me the first thing that you notice from this whole thing outside of the fact that you've got IKEA in your face, that commercial hub in your face as you get to that corner, and she said, this looks like a valley. I said, yeah, it's a basin. When it rains, you could literally power a boat from Marsden Park all the way to Blacktown Station.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's interesting. Your point about industrial development on floodplain is quite interesting. We've got a very large Woolworths not far from where we live on a floodplain. Because they couldn't build houses, but they could build commercial property there, which is quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and you only have to look at all the developments, even the one out at Liverpool, and then you look further. And then the thing is, even the commercial hub there just outside of Liverpool sits higher than the houses at the bottom where my family, my young nephews have bought properties down there. And it's diabolical. It shouldn't happen. And then they start talking about, the climate change and this and that and this. Yeah, all good and fine. But, I mean, historically, a lot of these areas that are experiencing the floods, historically, there would be higher floods, not disregarding the fact that obviously the high global population has impacted the way we live. But the thing is, the more important thing is historically, if these the local councils hadn't been open to the brown paper bags, a lot of these homes wouldn't have been built there, and they would have been built higher afield, and it would have been much better developments and more sustainable developments than what we have. It's a scam. It's a scam and sham.
Yeah, well, it's about high density, isn't it, to maximise the returns without thinking about the lifestyle and the welfare of the people who've bought subsequent, unfortunately. Now, let's move on to talk about numbers because, well, what are the numbers doing now, Edwin?
Well, they're slowly creeping back up. Mm. I mean, look, it's small increments, but the trend has been over the last few weeks that the numbers are creeping up for Sydney. It's the start of the week, and again, we don't close the books on this week until Thursday around 8-9 o'clock to see how the Sydney numbers are tracking. When you compare it to last week and even the previous week, they are it's coming up slightly. So it's not as obvious as the numbers in Melbourne. The numbers in Melbourne are really taking a high tone. The listing numbers are really creeping up. And you brought something up last week in our rent with regards to your observation of Melbourne, what was happening down there in your surveys down there with greater confidence of properties coming on the market in Melbourne, and that is also reflective of the auction numbers from last week to this week. The auction numbers in Melbourne have almost doubled, but yet Sydney's numbers are pretty much the same.
Yeah, it is interesting, Edwin. It's certainly showing that there's some differences in different markets, but I find it fascinating that the spruikers were out claiming that somehow, the world has now changed and the property market's back to full health thanks to the latest statistics from the auctions. It's not quite, I think, true.
No, because, look, the thing is people are getting out. Look, again, it's one point. It's one indicator in many indicators as to what's happening with the market. And when you look at the final figures or the which I've shared before on our podcast, and you've got to look at how many open house inspections are happening on the day, on Saturday, in relation to how many auctions are actually running. Yep. And in Sydney, it's on average at the moment of 22,000 open house inspections running across the that includes land, townhouses, everything else in between. And yet there's only 600 properties listed to go to. That's in New South Wales. The figures are from New South Wales, and the majority of them are obviously in Sydney. But in terms of relative to comparison to how many auctions go, how many homes are sold or put on the market, how many properties are put on the market by way of auction, it's not that high when you compare it with the rest of the open homes across each state. So, it's an indicator. Then you've got to also ask yourself the question, are the people genuinely meeting the market? Hence the reason why it's a higher result. Look, there's three cats here, and two of them like dry food, and Prince doesn't he likes wet food. So does that mean that two in three cats globally just prefer dry food? You can make the numbers say whatever you wanted to
Absolutely
say.
Absolutely right. Well, you're taking lessons from economists clearly. So economists can make anything. Do anything that they want because numbers, depends how you spin it. And talking about spinning it, we should just quickly talk about rents, right? Because the rental numbers at 9,857 for the Sydney region.
Look, that's a stress. That is the stress point. That is that is what you've put out a few videos on. That's what you've been sharing on other media platforms with regards to the stress, what you and I have been sharing and we've been noting for a while. What's close to my heart with regards to tenancies and the greater community with that live in they're getting the wrong a raw deal, and the government, considering it's meant to be looking after, allegedly it's a government that's supposed to be favouring the everyday Joe that that don't have investment properties or are trying to get into the market. It seems like they basically kicked them in the teeth. And this is it. And what's going to happen when these numbers materialize into planes, full of passengers coming in, and then they start seeking accommodation? What's going to happen? All we're seeing with regards to the rental numbers is that they're going down, and yet the population that are bringing in are going to put a much greater stress. So that's why when commentators talk about potentially we could be living in tents, I see that more as a reality, and I know of in many areas in the South Coast, where I've got colleagues down there in the South Coast, where you've got families that are entire family living in caravans, Mark. This is crazy stuff. It shouldn't be happening, not in this country, but it is.
Well, that's right, and it's worth us highlighting, Edwin, that some of those down on the South Coast were displaced through the bushfire season, right, and never got the chance to rebuild. And of course, they've had the floods, and now, of course, we've not got now more floods down into Victoria, and so yet more people are being displaced and are homeless. That's going to put even more pressure on temporary accommodation of all sorts and sizes. I mean, this is, to my mind, this is a national emergency, and yet it's not being treated by those in power. Although, interestingly, I've had a number of journalists tackle me over the last few days for information specifically about rental stress. So just maybe people are beginning to wake up to the fact that this is a really big deal, because a lot of the talk was about mortgage stress and rates going up, and isn't that terrible for mortgage holders? But this rental story, it's disgraceful. It is actually shameful. And again, state and federal politicians don't want to get involved. They want to look the other way. And I'm afraid that they need to wake up and start taking this really seriously, because this is a really big social and economic issue. And if we don't tackle it, it's going to lead to disaster.
Look, and it's also a health issue, Martin, because you've got young families or couples living in makeshift granny flats, or asbestos-riddled garages that have been converted into granny flats. And you see a lot of that shit in Doonside. You see a lot of that in the Blacktown LGA. And I mean, I've shared a lot of that over the years on Twitter and on different platforms. And it really, really is heartbreaking when you're out there in the coal face, and you you see when you go and inspect properties that landlords want you to lease out, running a property management team for almost 18 years, and you see this kind of stuff, it brings tears to your eyes, and you just have to walk away. You just have to walk away, because it's hard. It is hard until you see the stuff physically, what's going on out there. And some of these politicians, seriously, we've got to put them on a bus, and we've got to give them a tour. So when you talk to the mainstream, to the people that have reached out to you, Martin, make that suggestion. Put the politicians in the bus, and I will take them door to door to see how some of these the squalor that's out there that the people have to live in.
And not just to the newly built properties, carefully selected with precisely the right people who can, look the part, right? We want to take politicians to the real world to show the thousands and thousands of people who are living in squalor, living amongst mold and asbestos, very much overcrowded conditions, and with no hope of any change. That's the reality for many people.
And as we've said, if something was enacted and something was moved forward, even if the so-called million homes were going to start being built, let's say 100,000 homes. Let's cut it down to 10%. Even if they're going to start between actually starting it to finish, we're going to be going through two to three years of pain, and they're not going to be building homes anyway. It's all going to be again the dog boxes that they love to do, because they think they're going to save costs in the short run, but long term, it's just a huge burden to society as a whole.
I agree, absolutely. Policy mistakes left, right and centre. And we will just cover Brisbane because you've also now put up some data there as well, just to complete the picture. Good on you.
Brisbane is tracking along similar to Sydney, to the Sydney region. The Brisbane region is tracking along. We're not seeing a lot of movement, but there is a little bit of an upward trend. We're going to be tracking this so that we're going to see the changes, particularly as you shared on your other videos as well, the migration south from Queensland. It's going to be interesting to see how many investors put their properties on the market and start moving out. And also people that went up there to thinking that they were going to start a new life and they find themselves that they've got no job because tourism and hospitality is still pretty much shot up there. At the end of the day, it's the southern states that hold that work situation. It's somewhat a lot healthier than Queensland.
Absolutely right. Well, let's talk about the wackier than conspiracy theory ? What is more wacky than a conspiracy theory? And maybe it's something to do with Mankini's, eh?
Well, look, I'm saved. Common sense prevails, and our viewers are saved as well. Watching me butt-ass naked running down Blacktown Road. But look, this is the latest text that I received from the agent. They revised the guide from 1.75 to 1 million.
Which was in the ballpark, right? As to where you expect it was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it always is. And look, will it reach the 1.1? Yeah, who knows? With what's happening there? There's a lot happening. I kind of think it'll be hard pressed to get to the 1.1. It's not in the right location, but again. Emotion plays a big part, and depends if there's a bit of FOMO out there because of the policies, and because interestingly the people jumping in that price bracket because also Martin they don't believe that they're going to get the loan, which is a crazy idea to buy a property. But then again, if you've got a family, sometimes those life choices are made because of the school catchment areas. Yep. and family and pressures, family pressures, and because again the demographics and the nature of the people that live in those particular pockets, that they've got the places of worship, the local communities and so forth. So there's many reasons. But look, I would be surprised if it goes above the 1.1, but at least you won't be seeing me running down Blacktown Road in Mankini if it got 1.5.
No, but it's worth just underscoring, this concept of people having to trade off different things. I mean, it happens all the time, right? When you buy property, you always have to make a compromise here or a compromise there, because there's always going to be something that's not quite right, either location or numbers of bedrooms or something, right? Property purchases is actually about compromise.
Look, even rentals, and particularly now with the rental stresses that we're in. So property in general, and when you're going to sell as well. And this is what a lot of people are doing in terms of meeting the market, hence the reason why you see the so-called auction clearance rates tracking upward a bit, and all the mainstream media getting all excited about it, because people are making those compromises.
Well, now, talking about compromises, what about this for a compromise?
This is from one of our viewers that sent through. I thought it was interesting. I know the agent. I've spoken to the agent. I know the office well. When I saw that, as I said to you, I promised our viewer that I was going to follow up for him, and I did. It's an interesting story, but more wackier is the offers that he's been that the agent's been getting so far. So look, when I saw that and I did my research, 177 square meters of land. You got the decommissioned power station, then, but you still got the power box at the front. So you still got a lot of the a lot of things going on there. But it's an interesting property. So look, off the cuff, I pegged it. I pegged it between 200 and 250, right? So far, the agent's been very transparent with any inquiry, and talking to him face to face as well. Just because I met up with him at another sale, a mortgagee sale in Maryland, and talking to him, he's already had offers, written offers above 300.
All right. Well, you know, presumably you can go up, you know, knock it down and grow up, presumably. And
if you did that, if you sort of did too elaborate like that, you would I think you'd do your ass. Right. But to be used, one individual wants to store his muscle cars in there. It's a fortress. It's an absolute fortress. Yeah, I was thinking, listen, at 150, I could shift all the eggs and store all the eggs in there. And
yeah, well, you see, I had this theory that actually what they should have said was no rooms, right? No bathroom, just one car space. They could have flogged it off as a car space, right?
Oh, look, yeah, look, there's a few people that he threw around as to what they want to do. Mm. It suits somebody that wants to basically set up a small business as an office. It's got the potential, but even with that, and hence the reason why I picked it up between 2 and 250, because it's for somebody that's running a business. But to have offers above 300 already, it's crazy.
And absolutely.
So I'm definitely attending that auction.
Who else is there. Mind you, I got the theory that, you know, if you had some, high voltage requirement, well, you've got the power straight outside, so you can get three phase put in, no problem.
Yeah, well, that's where it kills it from. Like the ad reads about, turn it into one of those studios, or convert it into a studio, you could basically put a mezzanine floor in there. The photo doesn't reflect the true height, really.
Okay.
So you could basically put a mezzanine floor in there, and it's in the residential area. So there are a lot of options. But again, like I said, Martin, the numbers that are crazy, that is why I put it in the segment of what's crazier than a conspiracy theory. And but look, for a small business operator, for a business owner, or somebody that's got the money that wants to a solid bunker, it's right for them. And look, with the announcement that North Korea is going to be testing another nuclear missile, I mean, the perfect dwelling.
Yeah, I just say check for asbestos, bearing in mind the age of the property, but that's a whole another story. And shout out to the guy who sent us a Chris, been watching the shows. Thank you very much. And just to say to other people, if you see interesting properties you'd like us to chat about, just send them through via the DFA blog, and we can incorporate them in the show. And we appreciate all of the leads and examples that we receive from all over the place. So it's really appreciated.
Yeah, then we'll look at, which leads us into the next best topic. And I think that this is it. This is it, the Tom Panels Property Index, Martin. It's buy, buy, buy. I think that's the end of the Tom Panels Property Index. Yeah, we're on the rise. And what more, what better to be told from the most trustworthy faces on the internet?
Yeah, not goodbye, 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 but actually bye, bye, bye. Yeah. Well, there you go. That's the outlook for property from Mr. Panos, is that it's now the time to get in there.
Yeah, it's, again, you're looking at one indicator. But yet, interestingly, in his 10 auctions that he acted on over the Saturday, I believe there was only 4 sales. So I don't know. So, but apparently the vendors are meeting the market, and there's a lot of confidence with buyers. You've really got to be selective with property. You really got to understand, and yep. You've got to do those scenarios that you do, Martin, in order to understand what's happening in your, you know, drill down and see what's happening even in the local street, who your neighbors are, and don't be frightened to see who your potential neighbors are going to be, whether it's in an apartment, more so in an apartment than in a freestanding home as well. That plays a big role moving forward, because of there's so much tension, there's so much stress, there's so much anger. You just got to be very, very careful.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, Edwin, because I was talking to somebody the other day who's in the process of thinking about buying a property, and I actually said to them, so have you walked around the neighbourhood? And I said, oh, no, not really. I said, you know, you might want to just walk around the neighbourhood and just, you know, stick your nose over the fence and just see what's going on. The reason I said that, because I actually did a little bit of a sort of a top-down view using Google Street View.
Yeah.
And I noticed that 2 doors down, there was a whole bunch of old vehicles and, you know, a couple of old washing machines and all sort of scattered around outside.
A junkyard.
It was a junkyard, exactly. Because it had a bit of a high fence, you wouldn't see it necessarily. So I said, look, you might want to go and have a look just 2 doors down, because I think you might find that that's not quite the sort of neighbour that you'd want.
Yeah. Well, you got to do the Google search, and you got to see if there's any those tomato plants that don't grow tomatoes.
Yeah.
Because then you know you're in a high net worth. You've got high net worth individuals living next door.
But it amazes me, Edwin, how so many people just don't take their eyes wider than just the property they're looking at, right?
Yeah. Likewise in apartment developments, they don't walk down to the basement.
Mm.
It's great. Yeah, great. Yeah, 40 mil, stone bench tops. Great, fantastic. Soft closing doors. Oh, spectacular. Go down to the basement and you see the water, the water marks of, you know, from the previous, from the last time the basement got flooded. You can actually see some of the marks, and it's just it's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, each to their own, Martin. I hope your friend followed your instructions, and
they did, and they phoned me up a couple of days later to say thank you. We have now decided to look elsewhere. So the property itself was okay. I mean, it wasn't that flash, and it was probably overpriced. But the point there was, they were sort of getting quite serious about it. And you know how the sort of the emotion takes over, and then you start planning about layouts and where you put furniture and things like that, right? And, you know, you spend a lot of time on those internals, right? And if you find things like, oh, I've got this wonderful, glass partition that you can go transparent, or you can actually not go transparent if you turn the knob one way or the other, right? I mean, they all were fixated on that stuff, right? And they just hadn't done the homework in terms of just what was around in the immediate area. And the other thing that I suggested at the same time was you go and look at the local planning and what was planned. And the 2 doors up the other way, they were going to actually knock it down and put a 3-story place up, which was actually two townhouses, 3-story townhouses, right, which would have actually looked right in over the other way. So, again, it just shows you've got to do the work. You've got to do the research. You just don't get carried away by what you see there in front of you, right? And I don't know how many times we say this, Edwin, but, you know, we've got to say it again. It's really critical.
Yeah, look, it can work in your favour by having bad neighbours, or face value. But when you're buying, it can work in your favour. You can do all sorts of things. But there's nothing funnier than the young couple, they got the tape measure out and the measuring whether or not the furniture will fit. I mean, the real estate agents just go ka-ching. These are the ideal buyers. And then one turns to the other and says, "Oh, I don't know whether our furniture will fit in there." Yeah, and on passing, just say to them, "Listen, don't worry about it. With the termite damage in between the lounge and the family room, you have plenty of space. Once you remove that wall,
it won't be a problem. Push." Absolutely. No, very good, Edwin. Well, you know, it is a matter of perspective, and unfortunately, sometimes when you buy property, your perspective can get quite warped. And I think that this whole idea of calm down, go through it methodically, you know, there will always be more property, even now. So, you know, these things. Okay, tip of the week, Edwin, before we finish.
Yeah, look, it's give me a panadol, I have a migraine. That's what I titled the tip of the week. Hot off the press. Obviously, it's not going to be on. Not going to be in the press. It's just an interesting fact that's been brewing over the last 6 months with all the tribunal hearings that we're privy to. To get information from, and it was a headache for the tenant, and a major migraine for the landlord. This particular case. And basically, they couldn't come to terms. It's a $1,500 a week property, and they couldn't come to terms on the final inspection because the landlord was claiming damages, and and the tenant was saying no, that's fair wear and tear, and so forth. And there was a lot of clashing going on. The tip for the week is: if you're a landlord, do not attempt to do the moving forward, do not attempt to do the repairs yourself, because you won't be able to, you'll find it very, very difficult to claim on losses by you doing the repairs. It's best to send repair damage to the property that you believe the tenants caused, because you would have to prove a loss, and you won't necessarily be able to claim your hours. And this particular landlord was a builder. Right, and he couldn't get tradespeople to go and get things fixed, so he decided to fix it himself. But he obviously claimed on at a premium, being a builder. He marked himself as 10 hours of labor at $150 an hour, blah blah blah, and that's what I'm entitled for. Basically, the tribunal member said, "No, sorry, what we're going to give to you is the cost of the materials, not your labor." So there was a bit of a headache there. From the tenant side of things, when you do get asked by the property manager if you want to attend the final inspection, you better try your best to attend the final inspection, work out a time when you are going to be present. Because if you're not going to be present, you're also going to incur losses, because if you choose to, and that is reported to the tribunal, to NCAT, that you chose not to attend, well, really, then you're going to go on more on hearsay and what the property manager has noted down. As much as the tribunal members are very well versed in determining what's fair wear and tear, when it comes to damage, potential damage, or malicious damage caused by the tenant, well, there can be some grey areas. So in this case, both the tenant and the landlord were losers, and we're talking about a five-bedroom home in Blakehurst that was fetching $1,500 a week. And the further loss, obviously, is that to the tenant, trying to play smart with a landlord, now is finding himself in a position where he can't get a tenancy in that area. And where now his kids are basically going to, they're going to have to live further out, and it's going to be harder for them to come into. So there are a couple of things from a landlord's point of view and a tenant's point of view, and obviously the last, which is very critical: be careful who you choose as your property manager as well, and I say this not only from the landlord side of things, but also be careful who you as a tenant you're almost there to also interview the property manager, who effectively is going to be managing the property on behalf of the landlord. So you want to make sure that you get to know the property manager, because it's also an interview process. Not only for them to accept you, but you also got to be careful, because if you can send something narky about them, send something difficult, or if you heard something in the grapevine about that property manager, well, you're also going to suffer the consequences in the future.
Absolutely. Now, very good advice, Evan. I might just add one thing that from a tenant's perspective, on your way out, make sure you take photographs so you've got some record as well, so that effectively if somebody claims stuff later that is actually over and against what you believe to be true, you've actually got some evidence. Quite often people are sort of rushing to get out and forget some of those fairly basic things. Photographs are quite useful to keep.
Yeah, and it's not like before. We used to send them into the chemist and then go back for you for the photos a week later after they were developed. It's all digital. Photographs on the way in before you even take one, one piece of furniture into the property. Take 200, 300, whatever you fancy. You can store them all. Inform that. Make that a part of your ingoing inspection is, as well as you said, Martin, on the way out, and they should correlate. As I said, the tribunal members are very well versed in determining what's fair wear and tear, but it's very difficult. But look, it's very, very important to be present at the final inspection. Photographs and everything's great, but at the same time, you can, a lot of things can be mitigated on the day. And from a landlord's point of view, be careful as to how you approach repairs, and make sure that the property is well maintained for the sake of the families that are living in there. And let's face it, the rentals are so high. It's your duty of care anyway to provide a safe and good environment for the people that are paying the premium.
Absolutely, Evan. Well, thank you once again. Very interesting trip around property and some very important points. And we'll do it all again same time next week, I guess.
Yeah, look, and if there's another challenge, I'll certainly be up for it.
Okay, well, we'll see what comes out of the woodwork, but I look forward to that. But we can at least heave a sigh of relief. No Mancunian sight at the moment.
All right,
see you later. Good night. Take care. Bye-bye.